Today's reading is in Mark chapter 15, verse 1. Mark 15, starting in verse 1. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I mentioned yesterday how Jesus willingly went to the sham trial in the middle of the night. He allowed them to humiliate him, spit on him, hit him. And now they've delivered him over to Pilate. And he still is not going to defend himself. He doesn't give an answer. So much so that Pilate was amazed that he wouldn't give an answer. You know, any one of us, if we were being accused of a crime that we're going to be crucified, we're going to defend ourselves vehemently. Every time somebody says something wrong about us, we're going to speak up and, you know, shout out, "That's not right. I'm not guilty of this." But Jesus, even though he wasn't guilty of anything, he doesn't do anything to defend himself. He's just allowing these events to take place. So as it starts out, you know, you get to the early morning. That says the chief priests held a consultation with the elder scribes, the whole council. In other words, they all conspired together to do the same thing. They bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" This is the primary accusation they have to justify bringing him to the Roman government. They're basically saying, look, he's trying to get us to overthrow you guys. You know, he says he's a king when the Romans haven't appointed him as king. He's not our king. In other words, they're trying to accuse him of trying to go against the Roman government. When in reality, that's what they wanted all along. They wanted somebody that would, you know, bring a return to the kingdom of David and a return to being a world power in which no one could overthrow them or take them over. They wanted God to be with them again, but they weren't willing to be with God, and they're going against the plan of God. Mark gives us a few details that help us a little bit, and other gospels, you know, give us some different sets of details and a few things. We know that Pilate didn't see any wrongdoing on the part of Jesus. And it states here, let's see, verse 10, he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. So in other words, he's seeing through all of this. He's seeing that there's no real substance to anything that Jesus is being accused of. But Pilate's in a difficult position. He's in a position in which it's his job to keep the peace with the people in his city. It's his job to make sure that there are no uprisings and that things are peaceful. And if he's not able to do that job, then he will answer to Caesar. And he will be removed, and he might be punished for not being able to keep the peace. So when he sees that these leaders are going to stir the people up, well, he has some concern. He realizes that he has to keep a handle on the situation, even if that means to kill someone that he didn't find any fault in. And he asks in verse 14, what evil has he done? He's already heard all of their accusations, and he's found them to be baseless. But he's asking this question of the crowd, what evil has he done to justify their answer, crucify him? I mean, if somebody deserved to die under Roman law, it was Barabbas, not Jesus, but they're asking for Barabbas to be released. Barabbas was a murderer. He was an insurrectionist. In other words, he was trying to overthrow the Roman government. So he, under Roman law, deserved to be killed for those things, but they're asking for him to be released. It's obvious that Pilate does not want to crucify Jesus, and he's hoping that the crowd is going to have a different persuasion than the leaders. He's hoping that the crowd, who have lauded Jesus on many occasions, have heard about all his healings, all those different things that he's done, he's hoping that the crowd will be amenable to releasing Jesus so that he doesn't have to be guilty of putting someone who he finds no guilt on the cross. So I should give a little bit of credit to Pilate, not a lot of credit, but a little bit of credit, that he didn't want to crucify an innocent man. However, he is not able to stand up against the crowd based on his own motivations, and he ends up crucifying him anyway. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you put a timeline together of all of this, you realize how quickly all of this happened. Jesus is arrested in the middle of the night. He's got the sham trial in the middle of the night. Wee hours of the morning, probably before sunrise, they're conspiring with one another and then taking him over to Pilate. Pilate interviews him and then presents him and Barabbas to the crowd. I mean, all of this happened in a matter of hours. And in addition to that, in those matter of hours, the leaders have stirred up the crowd to ask for Jesus to be crucified. I don't think the crowd came up with that on their own. No, that's the responsibility of those leaders. They're the ones that did that. I want to read to you a statement from Jacob Hudgens' book on this passage that might be helpful to you. He said, God's Son is about to be crucified. God's people are asking for his blood. God's leaders are engineering the project, and the only one who objects is the pagan governor. And he's right. The only one that had a problem with all of this and could see that Jesus had no guilt was the unbeliever, the one that was not a follower of God at all. The hatred and the rejection from these leaders is astounding. You know, this has been building for a while. They've been looking for ways to catch him in anything for a long time. They've been looking for ways to turn the people against Jesus, but his popularity kept growing, and they just hated him all the more. They're not going to be satisfied until Jesus is dead. And even then, you see, they're not really satisfied. In asking for Barabbas to be released, I don't think the crowd understood the implications of that either. And that may be, you know, I don't know this, but, you know, him being insurrectionist and being released might have something to do with the insurrections that led up to the destruction of Jerusalem, which we know was according to the plan of God. God wanted Jerusalem to be destroyed and wiped away. It was a judgment against them. But I don't think that the people understood what they were saying when they say, give us Barabbas, who causes problems for the people and who was going to catch the attention of the Roman government because of his activities. So not only has the crowd been stirred up so that they ask for Barabbas and crucify Jesus, but they're not really thinking things through either. That closes out our reading for today. We can meditate on these things and pray about these things that we might realize our need to be in Jesus and not to be one of the unbelievers, not to be one of those that through my actions would be part of the crowd that called for the crucifixion of Jesus. I need to have holy and righteous activity in my life. I need to pray that God helps me with that and helps me to defend myself against the schemes of the devil. Please continue in prayer also that God may be with us all.